Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gooply Cast. We're live right now on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version, and you can find that on all of your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is custom domain champion, Matt Evans.
Greetings. Matt. How's it going, everybody?
Good. Also joining us is Product Red aficionado, Roy Slipin. Hey, Roy.
Ooh. How's it going?
Did you replace your phone case yet?
I have not. I have not had a chance to make it over to the store to replace it yet. Talk to me after my day's off.
Okay. We also have host of Cooking with Tim, Chef Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
And Joseph Meacham will not be directing our show tonight. That honor belongs to Matt, but I can't remember. Is he coming back next week?
I think so. I don't know. We'll have to ping him. I think it was two or three weeks, so he okay. had another issue. Well, it says he's
we miss
busy
you, gamer.
Now. It says he, yeah, we miss you, gamer. He's busy right now. So
looks like he had a fun time on Twitter in the crowd surfing.
Yeah, he did.
I love that video.
Oh my God. You should all follow Joe if you don't follow him yet. I have to tell you though something before we start on my second Instagram account that is mostly my development account and mostly pictures of my office. I reached 1,000 followers today.
Congratulations.
I'm really excited for that. I know. They say when you get to 1,000, it's all downhill from there and gathering people. But my other account is at like 5,000 and like it's just stuck. Like I haven't really done much with it, so that's probably why. But anyways, we lost Roy.
We this spawn this,
yeah, this, what is a Ziply-Fi?
Yes.
It's not Comcast. It's Ziply-Fi. It would be funny though if they get their internet from Comcast.
Like they have some backroom deal to service people where Roy lives, but oh my gosh, you have a Ziply advertisement in your hands. Why? This is internet for everyone except for Roy. But hopefully we'll have him back here pretty soon, I think.
Happy people on the front.
Anyway.
Alrighty, well we'll move on while we wait for him.
Yeah. We'll be talking about the Epic versus Apple judgment that came in last week.
Or the week before, wasn't it? It was last week. Or the
like
week before,
late.
Yeah.
And quite interesting. Many shots fired by the judge, poking at both Epic and Apple. And a majority of wins on the Apple side, probably the biggest win on the Epic side.
So Apple, Epic wants in to... Hold on. So there's one country that is forcing Apple
South
to
Korea.
Authorize third-party payment systems. What did you say? Korea, was it?
South Korea, yeah.
South Korea. They want third-party payment methods in there, and so they passed like a state law or country law or government mandate, whatever you want to call it. But in a statement from Apple, Apple said that there's no plans to reinstate Epic's developer account because Epic wanted to get back into it so that they could go into South Korea. But Apple seems to be holding strong that they're not going to let Epic back into the App Store. So even if – because essentially – so let's go back to the verdict. So the verdict was that Apple didn't violate the
anti-monopoly antitrust.
Monopoly and antitrust laws. However, the judge did strike one thing in saying that Apple needs to allow third-party links in there to direct them to other payment services outside of the App Store. So, for example, if you need to go to Netflix to sign up for Netflix, or you need to go to Spotify.com to sign up for Spotify, you can use a web-based browser to go there, and they can provide a link to there, and then you can go on there. Well, Apple had originally come out and said prior to that that they were already going to make that deal with developers in another lawsuit that developers have filed against Apple for a similar reason for the payment system. But so Apple had already come out and said they were going to do that, but that's what the judge ordered. So they essentially have to allow the redirection of links. Spotify and Tim Sweeney has said that Apple or Epic will not come back into the App Store until third-party payment systems are available, and they are appealing the decision to move on. And you should have seen his tweet. If you go, you can go back and look at his tweet. There are so many people who are mad that he is not going to come back into the App Store and use the redirection link. So,
so you say that, like for instance, I have Netflix subscription. I'm signing up for Netflix because I'm one of the 0.001% people who don't have a Netflix yet. And I go to sign up for it, and Netflix is like, hey,
T-Mobile?
No, I haven't. This is a hypothetical situation. Okay. Hypothetical.
Got it.
So I go into the Netflix app on my iPhone, and it's like, hey, you can sign up for your Netflix subscription by pressing this button here, or you can go to the website and do it through Netflix. Maybe Netflix will offer me a discount by going through them because they don't have to pay for the 30% fee or whatever. And those are my two options, right?
Well, I don't think that they have. So just to clarify, I don't think that Netflix has an in-app purchase anymore. But no,
well,
for example,
I guess I was using Netflix as an example, but that's theoretically how this could be set up. So I'm still choosing to purchase it through the App Store for two reasons. Number one, I click my button, I'm done. My payment information is already in the App Store. Number two, I need to modify any of the million subscriptions that I may have, Amazon Prime, Video, Netflix, Hulu, whatever. It's all in one nice, neat little page under my App Store account. I could just be like, cancel subscription or modify subscription, and it's all right there. Two reasons why I'm still going through the App Store regardless of them offering a redirect page. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
And that's why I think people don't really seem very worried for Apple. They don't really stand to lose more than 5% of revenue from the in-app purchases, at least from the numbers that I've seen. And I mean, even once developers can like incentivize customers to go and pay off app, like you were saying, Roy, there's so much that Apple offers to keep you there and keep things convenient. Will people even want to if that continues?
Well, if, and I think that go ahead.
I was going to say, if I'm doing like a one-time purchase, like say I'm playing Pokemon Go and I want some Pokecoins, and it's a dollar cheaper to buy from Niantic directly versus through the App Store, yeah, I'm going to buy through Niantic. I'm going to save that buck. Because if I do that enough times, it's basically paid for itself. That is the only time that I would let the App Store redirect me to a separate website for payment for one-time purchases. If it's a subscription, I'm staying in the App Store.
So Spotify, I think, tried that to do in-app purchases, and then you charge like a dollar or two more for the App Store version. But I don't think it worked out very well for them, and I think they reverted back to just the normal price and taking the loss on it, just because it was hard to get people to sign up on the website. It may be easier now that you can advertise that in the app, but before you couldn't advertise that in there. So it may be a little different now, and it'll be interesting to see how developers take this and roll with it. But I'm with Roy. I'm going to probably stick with in-app purchases just for safety and security, and then not having to update my card everywhere. You know, that's the one thing that I hate doing is updating my card every time, you know, because compromised cards, I knock on wood, I haven't had that in a while, but, you know, or expired cards, like, you know, just recently I was starting to travel and my card was expired on there. I had to go update that, you know, and it's just annoying to update card information. So
if the pandemic has taught us, go ahead. Go for it.
I was going to say, if, because I don't use or I don't buy anything on iOS because it's a work phone, so I don't need to do that. But I was going to say, if I were in your situation to where either I could buy things through Apple Pay or Apple Pay and pay a buck more for security versus paying on the vendor set website, I'm going to pay on the vendor's website and save a dollar. Like, I value my security, but it's a dollar. I'm going to save myself a buck.
And for people playing things like Fortnite, there's a reason why. So to combine like what you're saying, Tim, and what Matt was saying, say you play Fortnite on maybe like Xbox or maybe on PC or something, you might have in Fortnite specifically your credit card information already in the Epic Games ecosystem. And so you go out to their website, they already have your information, your login information. You can just pay really easily and then go back into the Fortnite experience on iOS and then save money.
And a lot of companies are using other payment options on their websites like PayPal. That's another option that I've seen a lot, is you can pay for stuff through PayPal on a vendor's or on a company's website.
The one thing that Apple has going for it in that way, though, is if you're a parent and you have a child who has an iOS device, for instance, you can approve purchases they make on their iOS device from your parent iOS device. So if I have a kid who's playing Fortnite, I hope that doesn't happen. My kids will be grounded for so long if they play Fortnite. But if my kid's playing Fortnite and they need some, V-Bucks or whatever the heck they call it in that game, and they want to do an in-app purchase, I don't have to be home. I don't have to be anywhere around. I can approve that purchase from my phone. Whereas if they want to buy it from the in-app purchase and they want my credit card, I'm not just going to give them my credit card information for them to buy in-app purchase willy-nilly. Next thing I know, I'm going to owe $1,000 to Epic Games. But if they do in-app purchases from the phone, I can monitor that a lot easier. I imagine Google's probably got something similar as well. I think that's one avenue that keeping your payments local on the App Store is going to be utilized by parents anyway. Regardless of the possible price difference of buying it from Epic itself versus the in-app purchase.
And that's one of the things that Apple leverages and tried to leverage in the court case, was that they offer this product that's holistic, that gives you all of these benefits when you stay inside of the ecosystem. And the judge was really, really unhappy and kept seeming to like prod at Apple's, at least their inconsistency with how they apply rules to different app developers. So like Amazon gets passes on how they dictate how their customers can spend money in app, and other categories, like I think books and maybe Netflix and in-game streaming. Like, there was so much inconsistency that this anti-steering rule seems like a fair consequence for how Apple has managed how they treat payments along different categories. But Matt, you pulled up. Sorry.
I was just gonna point this out. So this is Tim Sweeney's account, and he tweeted on September 13th that Apple has paid Apple, I think, $6 million.
Yeah,
$6 million as ordered by the court, has a big Apple Pay logo on it.
Wow.
I just thought that was kind of interesting.
So part of that is the money that they made off of the in-app payment system, the hot fix that they put into Fortnite as a way to circumvent Apple's in-app payment system back in, what, 2020? Or was it 2019 now?
I think it was late 20. No, it was 2020.
2020.
Because it was after we restarted doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
So they were charging customers 30% less when using the Epic payment system over the Apple payment system. So they owed Apple money for that time period, and then for sales made since then, from like November 1st till like the date of the judgment, which was a couple weeks ago. So they owe a sizable chunk of money for basically breaking the contract that they had with Apple.
Yeah. So, Tim Sweeney tweeted out on the verdict that today's ruling isn't a win for developers or for consumers. Epic is fighting for fair competition in the App Store, in-app payment methods, and the App Store for billions of consumers. He said, he goes on to say that Fortnite will return to the iOS App Store when and where Epic can offer in-app purchases in a fair with Apple's in-app purchases passing along the savings to consumers. Thanks for everyone who has put in time and effort into this battle on our digital platforms, and thanks to everybody, especially the courts, for managing a very complex case in a speedy timeline. We will continue to fight on. So that's essentially what Tim Sweeney said. Now, I just want to point this out, okay? I know there's a big thing between Tim Sweeney and Tim Cook, okay? And I just noticed this, but Tim Cook is verified on Twitter. Tim Sweeney is not. How bad is that? Like, how?
It's really weird that he's not verified. Like, here you are, the head of a huge company, and you're not verified on Twitter. Are we even sure that's Tim Sweeney? I'm just saying.
It is. It is. We don't. But he's tweeted from there before. I mean, we don't, and he's been out there forever. But it's just I find it very odd that he's not verified, you know?
Also, I don't like how pixelated his profile picture is.
Yeah.
It's incredibly pixelated. Also,
I don't think he cares about...
Probably. Also, he probably blocked at verified because he didn't want to be verified. And was like,
the next lawsuit's going to be against Twitter.
Oh, no.
Why Tim Cook is verified and Tim Sweeney is not... Damn it. But in the comments, in most of the comments there's a lot of people who are mad that they weren't coming back to the App Store. And who knows if they will be allowed to come back to the App Store, you know, after all this is said and done, you know. Because like in South Korea, you know, they are not it doesn't sound like they're gonna come back to the App Store there because Apple has no reason to add their developer account back. So,
And Apple won this case against Epic's breach of contract, so they have even more ammunition to say, no, we're not going to let you back. And even if you're getting what you want in another jurisdiction, that's no excuse for what you did, and we don't have to do it until the United States tells us we have to, which sounds like what they're sticking to, which I appreciate because it was obvious that what was the quote that when the settlement came down, I think one of the vice presidents of Apple said the court confirmed what we knew all along, that Apple is not a monopolist in like any relevant market, just completely destroying Epic's take on the case. And we were all talking about it here, like they have the complete right to control and operate the iOS ecosystem however they want.
Yeah, you know, and I was concerned by the way the judge was coming down on Tim Cook, you know, and asking all these questions and stuff like that, that I was afraid that she was gonna, you know, go that way. But when I read her verdict and stuff, and it's a lot of legal talk, you know, but I think it was ultimately a big win for Apple. I think developers did get something out of it because that's something that they've wanted for a long time. And I kind of understand it. And I think it's kind of silly that Apple bans people from, you know, offering them to, you know, advertise in the app that they can go to the website and sign up for an account and pay through the website. But yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a good win for developers in some ways on that, and then, you know, obviously Apple as well.
I think it's a great middle ground.
It is. And I know that some developers in the lawsuit that Apple is fighting with them, and Apple had made this agreement to settle the lawsuit with some of the developers in that case. Some developers were not happy with that and, you know, want to continue to fight on. Not sure what will happen with that era, but, you know, it's... With this lawsuit that Epic has tried and lost with it, I don't think the developers have a big strong case to go after them for it, because Apple does control the ecosystem, similar to the way that Android does as well. You know, so.
Do you guys think that there's any way? Do you guys see a way that Epic could navigate to a win on maybe the antitrust or trying to break the Apple ecosystem open in the United States?
No, I think that you know, their biggest argument was that by not allowing their purchases in app, there was no competition for against Apple. I mean, because you only had the one payment method, and although they didn't get the payment method they wanted inserted, they got the compromise of, okay, well, now users have the choice of buying through the app store, buying through the website. They just can't buy in the app itself without going through Apple's payment method, but users now have that option presented to them, so there's no longer one way or the highway. And I think that is why Apple will win any case, unless Epic has some weird legal jargon that they can pull out of nowhere that I'm not aware of, and I'm not an expert. I don't see a path to victory for Epic. I think that they got as much as they're going to get, because now there is, quote, competition.
Mm-hmm. And I think even the judge was not particularly impressed with the way that Apple brought that particular, not Apple, but Epic brought that particular case. I mean, she's obviously unconvinced that Apple is a monopoly controlling the in-app payments for, what was it, the sub-market for mobile gaming transactions. So she wasn't convinced that Apple was doing that, and Epic did a terrible job, not a terrible job, but did not provide enough evidence to sway her. And I feel like that's a really, really, really difficult argument to win, because the sub-market for mobile gaming transactions is the browser, it's other mobile payment systems like on Android, all of the side-loaded app stores that you can buy things on, Samsung's app store, which Fortnite is on. So the Apple ecosystem isn't a web browser where it should have access to whatever payment system you want, like Google Pay or Amazon Pay or PayPal. It's completely reasonable that Apple should be able to control both what they sell in the App Store and how they sell it. But, like, I don't know, steering to me seems like when you get into a car accident and, like, your auto insurance provider suggests or steers you into using an in-network, like, auto body repair shop to, like, save costs and increase efficiency or whatever. But most times you have the choice to go out of network. And, like, the same thing in the healthcare system. So that's kind of what developers have now, is the ability to be like, hey, you can go out to a website, purchase something, however they incentivize that. I don't know. But I definitely don't see them or the courts giving Epic what they want, which is a complete field day in the in-app payment system for Apple. I don't see that.
Sorry, behind the joke, I just tweeted and Roy just saw it, and then I saw him laughing, and I'm like, he must be reading my tweet right now. I tweeted to Tim Sweeney. I said, did you pay Apple with Apple Pay? And I retweeted it because he used the Apple Pay logo, and I'm like, did he just take his phone up there and take it over to Apple and just scan his Apple Pay?
That might be the largest.
Well, he could just send it over iMessage.
He could have just sent it over iMessage.
Do you guys accept Google Wallet?
Oh my my God. Sorry. I thought of that and I was like, I've got to do it before I forget about it because, yeah. So anyways, sorry.
It's been retweeted.
I really want to see analytics on how many people take advantage of being diverted to an alternate payment method than using the App Store. Because I feel if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that if I order something that's $14.99 from a restaurant, I will pay that $30 delivery fee so I don't have to go get it myself. I mean, I personally know that's ridiculous, but there are some people who would pay that just for the convenience of it. So I really want to see the analytics, and I don't even know if Apple could even get analytics for it, but I want to see data on how many people stay in-app purchase in the App Store versus allowing themselves to be diverted and pay that way. I really want to see those numbers. Because who knows? I mean, if enough people are like, yeah, I'll go pay a different amount on Epic's website, or obviously not Epic because they're not letting Epic back in, but maybe Epic might have more of a leg to stand for and be like, look, there is a market here for other types of in-app purchases than going through Apple Store. Not that I think that's really a legal leg to stand on, but they at least show more of what the consumer wants.
Mm. And it's very possible, even if a lot of people start going out of app to pay on some place that's more convenient for them for whatever reason, that Apple can still get the 30% cut for what they're offering in the App Store to begin with, because they're still going to be doing all of the promotion, all of the developer highlights and spotlights, and that they deserve money for that, obviously. I mean, we've talked about how fantastic the App Store is. It's incredibly profitable for developers to launch on Apple versus on the Android system. So Apple could easily, but not easily, difficultly ask developers for 30% in some fashion, some way. They could look at developer sales or something and be like, okay, you've sold this much on the App Store, so now we want 30% for all of the services that we continue to provide you, because we're not giving them away for free. So I don't see how, even if payments move somewhere else, why Apple wouldn't find a way to get their cut for the services they provide.
Well,
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that is. You said it amazes me, because we talked about again how good the Apple Store is compared to Google. Google's just filled with a lot of trash, I feel like. I hate to say it that way, but I mean, there's a lot of garbage apps on there that don't.
And it's not user friendly.
But one of the things that, yeah, it isn't, and it doesn't have people curating the App Store there. You know, there's a whole team of editors that sit there and write articles for the App Store. But what I was going to say, though, is that one thing that Apple fought in the lawsuit is how they prevent spam and spam apps from getting on to the App Store. Yet we've seen recently, in weeks and months ago, that a lot of these spam apps have been getting through Apple's you know, tester developers, you know, or testing groups, you know, and getting launched onto the App Store, and, you know, taking advantage of, you know, users and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see what Apple kind of changes in that environment to focus more on fighting that, because they really fought that in the lawsuit, you know.
Didn't Tim Cook say something about the App Store being like absolute chaos if they didn't do some kind of curation?
Well, and it's like, and it's the same way that it is with, like, I mean, if you think about it, it's the same way Android is right now. Like, Android can, I mean, you can't offer third-party apps in the App Store there, but there's no team of people that review apps. There's no people curating apps, you know. There's no people making sure that the garbage doesn't get through. And essentially that's what, I mean, if you take away that revenue stream from Apple, I feel like that's kind of where that would go. So
it would definitely reduce the, like, overall quality of the App Store if Apple couldn't rely on that revenue like immediately, and then if developers started adopting out-of-app payments, then they'd have to, I don't know what the App Store would look like as more developers do that. It'd be scary.
I wonder if there's going to be an App Store for the Apple Car.
I don't know.
You think?
There'd have to be, if not just a regular, if not the App Store and like a tab in it or something, then they could make
a
complete.
I think what would probably be in there, there'd be a giant iPad in the dashboard, and then you'd have a App Store built into that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see. Where
the
that
iPad
lands.
XL.
welcome back to the party, Roy.
They will be here Wednesday to fix my ONT box, and then my internet should be fine again.
Good luck and Godspeed, sir.
Yeah.
No, so I think I told you this, Matt. I don't know if I told you. So I got hold of them. They're like, oh, we can't make an appointment till next Wednesday. And I'm like, fine, whatever. And then the very next day, the guy calls me and he's like, hey, my schedule's actually clear and they dispatched me your ticket. I can be there in 15 minutes. And I'm like, I'm not even close to home. And they have called me every single day since then, telling me they could come and fix it. And I'm like, there's nobody home. I was planning for next Wednesday because that's what you told me. There's nobody home.
Wow.
I've not had any issues with them up until now.
Available for helping you when you're not available. How convenient.
Well, at least Comcast come fairly quickly.
I will give Comcast that. At least they're a little bit quicker on getting the help, even if I can get better consistent service on a normal basis from Ziply Fiber, you know, when their junk works.
Their junk doesn't work.
Tim, what did you just do?
I ripped up their stupid advertisement.
Except, Tim, when did you have Ziply Fiber?
He never had Ziply Fiber.
Did.
He had it like once in like high school or something like that, which was many years ago.
And it wasn't even Ziply.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to set off my phone.
I was just going to say, we're going to just watch Jim's apartment go up in smoke live on the Goopy cast. So back to the lawsuit. So, around the room, what would you guys like to see out of the App Store in wards of changes? Is there anything that you would like to see, either Android or Google?
I would love to see in-app payments from third-party processors come into the App Store.
Okay, Tim Sweeney.
Yeah.
I would love to see...
Let's get rid of this guy right here. There we go.
Oh, my goodness.
I would love to see...
Take a book out of Joe's category.
Oh, my goodness.
I would love to see... Apple Pay and Google Pay and all these big payment processes not charge payment fees for using their stuff. What they could do instead is make you pay a flat line, like $1 a month. You pay $1 a month. Epic has to pay $1 every month and they can use Apple Pay. Charge the same amount. $1. That's all you need.
You gotta remember, Tim, that even like grocery stores and whatnot, they have to pay every time there's a debit or credit transaction.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily, I mean, I'm sure they pass that cost on to some in some way, shape, or form, but not in every transaction do we see that. It's like 30 cents a transaction or something like that. That's why when you go to certain places, they're like, unless you pay have a transaction over $5,
like
gas stations, do a 30 cent surcharge.
It's like gas stations. A lot of times gas stations have a cash price or a credit price.
Yeah.
Debit and credit price. Yeah.
So I can understand there being a fee per transaction that either, you know, these companies would pass on to the consumer or they'd eat in some background cost that nobody's ever going to see except for them. I would be okay with that. Not like a dollar a month fee. That's ridiculous. There's no money making scheme in here. Everybody's here to make money. Let's face it. What we have or what we're getting now with the redirect is exactly what if you go back to our earlier conversations about this, about what we would like to see when this all pans out, this is exactly what I asked for. I said I would be perfectly okay if I go to make a payment in app and they're like, hey, you can buy this through the app store for X amount of money, or you can go to our website and possibly pay for a cheaper price because we don't have to pay the 30% Apple fee. We got exactly what I asked for. Thank you, Tim Cook, for doing whatever you did with the judge to make this make my dreams come true, because this was completely Tim Cook's doing. I'm calling it now. It was
Tim Cook's design, not the judge's. He had the...
Exactly. Okay. Well, he proposed it to the judge, and the judge was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. I'm sure that's...
one of the most valuable companies in the world. You probably got some judges in your pocket. Easy.
He did not blackmail the judge.
I didn't say
He made a suggestion.
Yeah. I'll give you an Apple car.
I also wouldn't mind seeing... changes that I would like to see is a change in what they charge developers in general. And I know that they've already made their program for smaller developers and whatnot. I personally think that the 30% industry standard is kind of outrageous. It is a pretty sizable chunk. And maybe there should be tiers like of how much the transaction is.
There already is. I mean, because there's a tier at how much.
But that's based on how big your company is and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that there should be a tier available for everybody based on like the size of the purchase or how much revenue is brought in. Like, I just think that 30% is a steep starting point, even for the large companies that I know can afford it. Because although Apple puts a lot of work into their product, and I do think that credit should be paid where it's due, they are already paying for their developer license. I know that's not a huge fee in the grand scheme of things. I would think that it should be a 20% flat rate across the board, and even less for the indie developers to encourage growth of smaller developers.
I think that they should drop everything down to 15% across the board for every developer, regardless to what they pay there. Whether they increase their developer license costs, you know, charge $150 for it, whatever. But across the board, make it 15%. And then the other thing that I would like to see removed from the App Store is the damn advertisements. Because
especially if you're like a Cloud Plus subscriber,
It drives me nuts the number of places that advertise. Like when I type in, like I was typing in Twitter and I got this some random app. Or no, it wasn't Twitter. It was T-Mobile, because I deleted the T-Mobile app because I was getting that error message. So I tried to delete it to do it. And I pulled up, I typed in T-Mobile, and I got some random weird app that made no sense whatsoever. And I'm like, it drives me nuts. Like, I hate the fact that they brought in advertising. I said it then, and I'll say it again now. It sucks balls that they brought in advertising into the App Store. It doesn't need advertising.
Especially if you're an Apple One subscriber.
Yeah. Shouldn't have advertising. Yeah, it just drives me nuts. Like, take it all off and get rid of it. Because it's just garbage that we don't need. I think the in-app search is a good enough way to find things on the App Store. You know, and if your app is good enough and you get a lot of downloads, then maybe you'll be featured in the Apple front page.
I was gonna say if you wanna pay for an ad space. And when I say an ad space, it's got to be the same way that Apple does it. Then you can pay for a space on the curated front page.
I disagree with that, because I don't think that they should pay for curated ads. What I think they should do is put in some type of recommendation system where you can recommend the app to be available, to be reviewed, to be in the curated apps. I don't necessarily think that that's the way they should go with that, because that just brings all the ads to the curated section, which I don't like, you know. So
if Apple made it like there were X amount of spaces in the curated area and it cost X amount of money for you to put forth, and you had to actually write like a curated article like Apple would do. And this month, you know, we'll have two apps and they're featured right here and they're promoted spaces. But it wouldn't be like just a whole page of them. It'd be like one, two, or three or something like that.
No, get rid of the advertising altogether, to come up with some type of recommendation system built into it where you can, you know, you can feature your app to be featured on something even maybe smaller, maybe something just like, you know, the little developers or the little guys section in the curated app store, you know, or something like that, and have a team that's specially out there to find these unknown apps and promote them in the app store curated section free of charge, because I don't think Apple really needs the revenue from the ad space. I think they could do away with that.
Well, they're going to lose all this revenue from not being able to have in-app purchases. They got to make that up somewhere.
They don't need it. They don't need it. It was so annoying to me, and it was. I know some developers were upset about it too, because some developers felt like it. Other developers would take advantage of it, and you know, so it. So that's my thoughts on the changes to the App Store. So, but
I definitely
anybody else have thoughts on
Apple response to this?
On the Apple lawsuit?
I just definitely want to see Apple be more responsive to developers' needs, because it seems like even during the trial, the judge was kind of asking them what they offer and how they communicate with developers. And it just seemed like there was a big gap, especially between what Tim Cook was saying and what like developers have been saying for years. And there wasn't a good channel of communication between it.
I think there should be more of a developer community group outside of WWDC. There's WWDC, but I think that they could do something better and have some type of like, I mean, they have the developer forums, you know, and stuff like that. But maybe they have a dedicated call center for developers, you know, that are having issues in the App Store and need to get resolutions. Maybe it's not just going to get resolved. It may not get resolved by over the phone, but at least, you know, because it is hard to get a hold of Apple sometimes, you know, especially if your app gets rejected. That's a lot of people. What a lot of people see is that there's not a lot of resolution options to get things, to get in touch with somebody, to get more clarity on what they can do to change out the app.
Because it gets rejected for reasons, and there's not, like you said, a lot of clarity or transparency in those reasons.
Yeah. So I agree with that.
Dedicated team. Like a good dedicated team on board to be there for developers when they need the help.
For sure.
And I think that they could even go further and have a dedicated team perhaps in Apple stores and stuff like that, perhaps, you know, or somebody who's experienced with development in Apple stores and that can, you know, help with resolutions or stuff like that, that comes up. If they don't do the call center and they don't do that, at least you can go to the App Store and you can fill out a claim, fill out a report, open a case or something, and actually get through to somebody. That might be a little harder to do, but I mean, they do have a lot of Apple stores around. And
I have a question.
Could you imagine?
I have a question regarding that. So I know Apple has those, they have classes that you can do, like if you buy a Mac you can go and learn how to basic use it or basic video edit using Final Cut, like small classes. Do they have anything like that for developers at all? Like how to, like, basics to development?
They have a intro to developers. It's like, it's not necessarily a class. It's just more or less teaching you how to code on Swift Playgrounds. But they did have one, I think, that was at the store before COVID, where you could go in and they show you how Swift Playgrounds work and stuff like that. It is not in depth or anywhere in depth to what you need to know to learn to build an app. But especially when you go to like WWDC, there's a lot of groups that you can go to, and there's classes and there's talks and lectures and stuff that you can listen to from Apple engineers. And I feel like they could have that more throughout the year rather than just one time of year. Yeah, it would cost more for Apple to put those on, you know, and stuff like that. But in the virtual world, you could do a lot more. And we've seen virtual WWDCs, and I don't think it would be that hard to do. So
just imagine you submit an app to Apple and they reject it. And you're having a hard time grasping why, what could I do? And you open up a ticket and you make an appointment and you go down to your local Apple store and you meet with a genius that specializes in Swift or whatever. And you could sit down and one-on-one with him. Like, that would be next level customer service for developers. Well, and I think Apple could set that bar.
It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that in depth either, where you go to an Apple store. But and I've never had an app. I've never had an app rejection, so I don't. I don't think I have. But
you should get one rejected just for fun,
just to see what it looks like.
But at least like there could be like a virtual phone call, you know, where they meet with you to discuss your app and what violated it. Now, I mean, I don't know how many apps they reject on a daily basis. That may be too much, but you know, sometimes I feel like when developers tweet out, there's like a little section of what they said, you know, is rejected, and there needs more clarity on how to fix it. And so some type of, you know, like I need more clarity to understand what you're saying or whatnot, or how we can fix it, or at least get some insight on that. Because I feel like some of these developers out there I've seen tweet, you know, and it just hasn't come back very well. So,
and that's an issue when you have developers who have no easy way to contact you and no way to encourage you to change your processes, because developers have, short of like a developer union or something like that, there's no way that developers can get together collectively to lobby Apple to get them to change some kind of policy in developers' favor. I mean, literally, Epic Games was like, we'll fall on that sword and create a giant lawsuit just so that Apple has to listen to what we have to say. And then there's also I forgot what it's called, something that Epic started that brought in developers like that mail app and just trying to get to break up Apple's monopoly or whatever. I forgot what it's called. It's in one of our previous episodes, but like,
yeah,
the steps that invested developers are willing to take to, if not be heard by Apple, to force Apple to make changes is, you know, on one hand, maybe they're just doing it to make money. On the other hand, maybe Apple is showing that they're a little bit too deaf to developers' concerns and even large developers' concerns.
Yeah. It goes back to T-Mobile. And so I remember having issues with, I remember having issues. I don't remember what it was now, but I did have an issue and customer care couldn't help me. I was at a loss. Oh, I think it was when my wife migrated to my plan. There was some reason that we were supposed to get like $700 from Apple to pay off her existing phone on AT&T, and the claim got rejected. And I was trying to figure out how to figure that out. And so I tweeted the CEO at the time, John Ledger. And I tweeted him, and he tweeted back and said, email me. And so I emailed him, and then I got a call the next day from, it was Office of the President. And it essentially, I explained to them what happened, and I explained to them that both the lines were transferred. Her dad's line was transferred into his own line, though. And so they rejected it because the phone payment was under his line, and his line wasn't the one that we transferred over to my line or to my account. So essentially, it was a long, drawn-out process, though. But I explained it to him. He said, I understand, and I can help you, but customer care can't. I have to do things differently. And he asked us what we wanted, if we wanted just a credit or if we wanted a Visa gift card and like the plan offered. But he was very helpful and figured it out and made it happen and essentially sent us the gift card, and it was well received. It was customer service though in its action. And I think that Apple should do something similar to that for developers. So yeah.
That would be amazing, actually. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Any other thoughts on Epic v. Apple or developer v. Apple?
I don't think so. Not me.
Okay. In that case.
Tim is updating right now.
I need to do that to my iPad. Don't let me forget.
Oh, yeah. You can get widgets on the home screen.
Ooh, that'll be nice. Get my OneNote on the home screen.
Is that your cat, Roy?
That was my dog going through the dog door into the garage. Which means she's probably out here because she needs to go out or something. Or she's missing me.
Oh, we don't want to keep you too long from old puppers. So we want to give you a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the GooplyCast. And a big thank you to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look for our replays on YouTube and the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live with the show, and you can join in and also for when we share new tech-related content. I've been your host, Matt Carter. For Matt, Roy, Tim, and Joseph, we appreciate you so much for watching and listening, whether here on Earth or in outer space. We'll catch you next time on the GooplyCast.
Thanks for listening to the GooplyCast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Gooply. And remember, you can stream the GooplyCast on your favorite podcasting app or Gooply.com.